5, 4, 3.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host. Today, got a long-time cohort with me, a veteran of many gigs, Jay-Z Lowdown, John Zanella.
Raj, nice to be here.
I was going to say this might be one of the first times I've ever seen you in the daylight, but...
I know, you know, I didn't recognize you without your guitar on, but we have a lot of history, don't we?
Oh, yes, but the funny thing is, of course, here we are in a cave again.
Right.
So it
never
is a daylight.
That, yeah.
Never, but it's probably a little better lit than some of the places we've played.
It is. Well, it's kind of like a long break, I suppose, right?
Yes.
We can look at it that way.
So, you're a bass player.
Yes, I am.
A funky bass player.
Well, some say yes, some say no.
Now, you've been playing with me on and off for probably 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, it's been that long, probably.
And we've had some great adventures.
We have. Yes, we've had some great gigs, some not so great, some packed, some empty. Dancing, no dancing.
The Roger Z dance contest.
I love that dance contest.
I got to bring it back. I got kind of tired of it, but
yeah, I mean, it gets the people up there going. So
depends how hard I want to work.
Right. Well,
we played the Boxing Cat. Remember that? The Boxing Cat,
right.
In
Greenwich, right.
Connecticut. Yep. We had a steady gig there, and the next thing we know, the thing burned to the ground.
Right. And we had a couple gigs there, and it was about to be one of our better places.
Yeah, we were like working every week there.
Right.
Thursday nights, and then poof.
Up in smoke.
And never reopened.
No, it's still closed?
It's still closed.
Really?
My favorite, though, is Alpha Pizza up in Devon.
Alpha Pizza. Yes, I remember that place. Yeah.
This was so weird. It was a biker bar.
Right.
Right on the beach.
Yes. Yeah.
Devon, Connecticut, for those of you who don't know, is Lower Bridgeport.
Right. And over the, it's in Stratford. Devon's a part of Stratford.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. But it's in between Stratford and Bridgeport, actually.
Because when you look it up on the internet, they give you, you know, the zip code is in Bridgeport.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
I never try to send them mail.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I remember going to that place, and I loved the owner. He was a real nice guy.
Right, yeah.
And they had a wild crowd there. Remember the women would get up on the bar and...
Yeah, that was one of the wildest places that I've ever played, you know, on a given night. And, there was a bartender that worked there, a really scary-looking guy. He was probably bigger than you, shaved head like yourself, and he had a big scar on his face. It looked like probably a stab wound. And as I was leaving the bar, we were, you know, all the people had gone, and, you know, we were packing up, and he said to me, as I was about to leave, he said, "You, close the door." And I looked behind me, can't be me, so I can do, "Close the door!" Okay, I closed the door, and I thought, what did I do? Did I not pay my bill or something? And he says, "Joe, get the soap!"
I was there, I heard that.
And I had no idea what "get the soap" meant. Well, I didn't want to find out, but it was, I just thought, you know, let me get out of this place as quickly and gracefully as I can. And it was like running from a bear, you know. I didn't want to turn around and spring because I thought maybe he'll chase me. So I just slowly backed out of the door and opened it and never lost eye contact with him and closed the door, and then I was out.
Well, we played there after that.
Yeah, we did. I don't think he was there, thank God.
Or maybe he didn't even remember.
Yeah, he probably didn't.
I just remember it was weird. The first time I got to the club, I got there early because I didn't know how long it was going to take. And I said, "This is so cool. It's on the, you know, it's a block from the beach." So I took my shoes off. I went went for a walk on the beach, and it's the first time I ever saw the projects right on the beach.
Yeah, that was strange.
It was like government housing, and then they had like a sewage pipe going right into the beach.
That's Devon, though. It's a little of both. You know, it's kind of nice and kind of not so nice.
But I missed that place. And it's actually a very sad story. I mean, in terms of, it's hard for musicians to find clubs to play. And this is the second time this happened to me. I remember growing up, I used to go to a club on Long Island where I grew up. And the club used to rent out an apartment on top of the club. And of course, they would tell people, well, you know, we're going to give you a cheap rent, but it's because there's a club with a band.
Okay.
So what do you think happens? So someone takes the apartment and then immediately calls the cops and says it's too noisy.
Right.
And that was the end of the club.
Yeah.
So someone bought the house next to the club, probably for a dirt cheap price because it is loud. First thing they do is call the police incessantly. You know, they come with the noise meters, and that was the end of music at Alpha Pizza.
Oh, okay. Well, that was the end of bands, but I bet that the crowd was probably keeping them awake anyway.
You think so?
I think they probably have put a for sale sign on their house by now.
You think so?
Yeah, well, that was a loud place. And the motorcycles in the front, I mean, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning when they all start up their bikes.
Remember we did Cafe 123? Where was that? Cafe 123 we did with Brian?
Right, that was in Shelton?
I think it was Shelton, Connecticut.
Yeah.
We did that gig. I know the PA was on the fritz for the first set. We finally got it worked out. And like on our break at like 2 in the or 1 in the morning, the whole motorcycle group of people decided to burn rubber in the center of town. The lady who ran the bar was pissed in hell, was yelling and screaming.
Well, Raj, I don't know if that Johnny Cash song you played had anything to do with that, but I think that might have riled them up a bit.
Folsom Prison? I'm never going back.
Yep. We had some good times.
But
hey, congratulations on your gig here. And how long have you been here now?
I've done around 6 or 7 shows.
I saw that Michael Brahm, was he one of the guests?
Mike Brahm, he used to play with us.
Yeah.
Nice, always get my friends, always get my fellow musicians.
Nice guy and a great drummer.
And he's making his way up the ladder now.
Oh, he is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, because you're up in Connecticut, you don't get to hear the shows.
Yeah.
We may be working on that. But, yeah, he's hooked up with this guy, David Gross, who just cut a big album, and he's going on the road with him. So he's moving up and out. He's doing well.
Good for him. It's well-deserved.
Yeah, he was a great. He was in the moment. That's what we always used to say.
Yeah, we did.
About him.
That was.
He listened.
He was so in the moment that sometimes I would play something, and he would be right there, and it was scary. And we'd look at each other, and then look away like we couldn't believe it had happened. And it was just he was like that though. He would just predict what was coming up next.
Yeah, and it's funny because the guy that he's playing with, Dave Gross, has that reputation as a guitar player.
Oh, really?
Right. I spoke to, he plays with the NRG band, and I spoke to Nicole, another person I interviewed.
Right.
And Nicole said, yeah, he's just so in the moment.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Dave play, and what knocked me about his guitar playing is he plays the slow blues so well. He can go from playing one note and holding it to playing 1,000 notes to going out of rhythm, playing a different rhythm, and it always comes back on one.
Is that right? Yeah.
That's the hardest part I always have, always getting back after the solo.
Some people try and screw you up on purpose, too, you know. Well, not screw you up, but have fun with it. Have fun with the beat and toy with it a bit.
No one who plays with me, because I'm too easy to toy with. Although I know that's right, we had one drummer who liked to play over one and put the accent on two. We won't mention names.
A few drummers, but you know that's cool too. But a lot of my favorite drummers I've met, you know, in the last few years on your gigs. I mean,
Terry Arpino.
Terry Arpino, Roger Post, Rudy Feinauer, and Stu Starr.
Yeah, you know, I haven't heard from Stu in so long.
I started playing with this other group fairly recently, and we needed a drummer, you know, and I said, believe me, you don't have to worry. I know so many great drummers, you know, through a gig that I do, and so I ended up actually, Roger Post is doing it now, but, you know, I told her that Roger's busy, and we're going to have a lot of subs on the gig, so it's a big, long list of great drummers that I got from working with you.
Roger will be on the show, I think, on my birthday.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, okay. He's coming down. So let's talk about, well, you've obviously played with me. We actually have a show coming up this Friday at Valhalla Crossing. Okay. I always tell people don't mention any shows because it's, who knows when this will air. This will probably air after the show. But anyway, let's talk about your other projects. So first and foremost, you have a group where you own the van, you own the PA.
I don't own the PA, but I moved the PA.
You're the only one who
moves. I'm a partial owner, actually, in the PA. But, yeah, it's a wedding group that I play with called South Broadway Rhythm. And I just say weddings, we actually...
Country clubs, right?
Yes, more country clubs now than weddings. And, you know, it's a great gig. And we probably do, you know, 80% country clubs, 20% weddings now, and then, you know, throw in the occasional private party. But yeah, it's a great gig. The country club gigs are like wedding money, but there's no bride and groom to agitate anyone, so it's smooth. And you know, we play a wide variety of music, you know, the usual, a lot of the usual stuff, some of the unusual stuff. And I've been with them probably for about 10 years now.
Well, and it's a big band.
Yeah, it's well, four-piece rhythm section, drums, bass, keyboard, guitar, girl singer, and two horn players.
No male vocalist?
Well, the other guys in the band sing.
So
I sing some backup, and but we have actually three of the, you know, all the other guys sing lead as well.
Okay.
And
so you get to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, quite a bit. Yeah, there's one guy who's... Joe Tadouni, guitar player, and he plays, he sings more on the rock end of it. And then we have Bob Falcone is keyboard player. He also sings, and Gary Collins is the drummer who also sings. And
I'm glad you said Gary Collins, because I thought it was going to be an all-Italian band.
Well, besides him, it's mostly, we play in an Irish club, and so he feels very at home when we play there. But, that's about the only Irish place that we play in Fairfield, the Gaelic Club, it's called. So, yeah, I play with that group, and I just started to play with another group fairly recently called Mia in the Riff, and her name is Mia Finale, and she won the Star 99 competition, like Star Search kind of competition that they had on the radio station. She's a fantastic singer, a tremendous voice, and somewhere between Josh Stone and Aretha Franklin. And so she's got a promising career ahead of her. She's writing her own songs, and I started to write, you know, some music with her also.
Cool.
And
that's where the money is.
It is. It is. And it's fun, you know. It's anything goes when you write. You know, we try and keep current sounding, but also try and tap into some of the old school, you know, blues and R&B. So it's fun so far.
You working? You playing out? Or
we play out. We played a couple gigs, and we played one gig that we were playing steady is Ziggy's in Fairfield. Matter of fact, it might be a good place for you to look into, because
never heard of it.
It's cross street from the Home Depot in Fairfield.
Okay.
Little, you know, medium,
that's near
medium
Black
size,
Rock, right?
Yes, medium sized club, but they can pack them in if, well, Mia has a following though,
she
packs them in.
Okay,
she brings
good for
a lot
her.
Of people down, but And that's the name of the game with a lot of these clubs today. We can't find too many that actually have their own following. They want the band to bring the people.
Well, she can deliver. That's great.
Right.
So that's awesome. Now, you also have a wife and two kids, a family.
I do. Yep. I'd like to take this time to thank them for their support. Thank you, Lynn, my sons, Jay and Chris, who have taken a lot of the brunt of my weekends away. And so I'd like to thank them also as well.
Yeah, it's music is an interesting life. Women fall in love with you because you play music, but they want you home Saturday night.
Well, that's in my case, though, it's partially what's kept the marriage going, I think. You know, those breaks can be good also.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, is that
yes,
it?
Yes, that's right. So, it's worked out quite nicely, and, you know, she's happy doing her own thing, you know, a lot of times, and I try and spend most of the weekdays home and pitching in there. But it is tough to balance the two, as you know. So,
as I know. Oh, yeah.
Well, it must be especially tough for, you know, so many kids. And
so many kids. I only have two kids.
You have two?
I only have two kids, and as a matter of fact, I got to go pick them up right after this interview. My daughter's begging me for a new pair of sneakers. She said her old pair fell apart, so I got to take her over to Foot Locker or something.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Right. She has to go to the most upscale place. Right. I want to take her to Walmart, but I don't think she'll walk into that place.
No. Well, maybe you can trick her. Say you're going to pick up some CDs.
She's 15 years old. It's pretty hard to trick her now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's pretty hard to trick her. But anyway, John, let's talk about you and your musical influences. So we're sending you to a deserted island. We're sending you to Anguilla, just you and your wife maybe, for a weekend.
Oh, fantastic. I had no idea it was part of the show.
We're sending you in your mind.
Okay.
But anyway, so you get to pick a CD or a couple of CDs or a box set. Who would you know, if you had to really limit it to your favorite groups, who would it be?
Well, you know, actually what I listen to and what I play are really two different things most of the time, although sometimes they overlap each other. But I like a lot of contemporary folk. I don't know if you knew that, but I...
No.
That's probably my first love. I was actually playing with a girl last year, Lucinda, who was a singer-songwriter, and she was doing quite well, and for many reasons it didn't work out, but it was in that vein, kind of acoustic-driven pop, I guess they call it. So, you know, I moved by lyrics, and I seem to have an affection for female vocalists in that.
You have an affection for females. That's positive.
That might be a little bit to do with it, but I absolutely love. Well, if I had to choose between one,
or pick two, it's okay.
I would have to pick maybe two or three.
Pick three females. It's
all
okay,
right.
John.
I love. There's an artist, Iris Dement, who is. Kind of she has like a twangy kind of country sound to her, but she's more on the folk end of it instead of country, and just very, you know, captivating lyrics. She's just a terrific songwriter.
On a major
and
label or local artist?
She's not a local. She's on a major label, but I don't know which label.
Okay.
But you know, her songs just really touch me, you know, a spot, and they're just so crafty that, you know, if anybody gets a chance to, you know, check her out, Iris Dement. You can find her on the internet. And so I have a few favorite albums by her, but also The Roaches. I love. Have you heard of them?
Well, I used to, in one of my thousands of lives, I used to play on Bleecker Street in Manhattan for like 3 years. I used to play every weekend on Bleecker Street, and it just so happened to coincide with the Roaches achieving their initial fame.
Is that right?
So I've seen them many times.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Well, they have an album called Speak, and that's my favorite Roaches album. So I listen to it over and over and over again, and I just don't get sick of it. And last but not least, there's an artist called Jane Siberry. God bless.
Thank you.
Oh. Jane Siberry is a Canadian singer-songwriter.
I've heard of that name.
I believe she had a hit in the top 40 many years ago, Mimi on the Beach, I think it was called. And it was a song about a girl, a ditzy blonde, on the beach. And I guess she was poking fun at her. And then years later, she wrote a sequel to it where Mimi actually talks back and writes a song about her. So she's out there, but she's fantastic. Her name is Jane Siberry, and I have the anthology, and it's a double CD. And again, it's just one of these CDs that I just can't get enough of, over and over and over again, and it just sounds better all the time. But I do love R&B, funky R&B is really what I love to play. Delbert McClinton, anything along that vein.
Well, we're going to do a couple of his songs, right?
Excellent.
Giving It Up for Your Love, we're going to do.
Yeah.
And do-da-do-da. What's that one called?
Shaky Ground.
Shaky Ground.
Yeah.
We do Shaky Ground.
That's a good one.
It's interesting because I love all kinds of music. I was listening to a Bob Dylan album today, Bringing It All Back Home, which was just voted one of the top 100 great albums of all time. There's something I like about folk music is it's very intimate. And you really feel like it weaves a spell that captures you. You get caught up in their lives, especially when they tell a story about something. I was a fan of Suzanne Vega.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. So let's move on.
If I can mention one other CD, and it's actually a friend of mine. I may have sent you the link, but he goes by the name of Johnny Skillsaw. And this guy he's the most unique musician that I've ever met or seen. He builds his own instruments.
Oh, right.
And he built this, it's called a Swiss Army bass is what he calls it. It's a 2x4 on the neck. Well, actually, there's a bass neck, a real bass neck, attached to it. Then a 2x4 that he has a keyboard attached to it. And he plays the bass with his left hand, plays the keyboard with his right hand, and sings lead. Now, it's not a gimmicky kind of thing. He didn't do it to be different and for it to be a gimmick. And he actually, with that contraption, he was signed to a major label, believe it or not. He was signed to Atlantic, I think, it was just a little stint. And what happened is the people that he met there, the people that were taking care of him, I guess, it just didn't work out. They had left the label, and he was left signed to a contract with these people, and he knew no one at the label. So it was a bad situation to be in.
Did he ever release an album with Atlantic?
I don't think he ever released it, but he recorded it, packaged it. And since then, though, he's gone on. He's done a few CDs, on his own, and he has a spectacular website, jaysmuseum.com.
Yeah, I've been to that website.
Yeah,
you can send
yeah.
the link.
And he just warmed up Army of Anyone. He did two shows warming them up with just himself and a drummer. And everything is live. There's no overdubs. And it's incredible what he does. And hopefully he'll make it one of these days. But, he certainly deserves it.
Well, let's get on to the next question. Okay, you're playing the garden. and you get to have all your heroes come up on stage with you. Who are your heroes? Who are gonna play, living or dead, in this band?
Well, I'd have to. I suppose the drummer would probably be the easiest choice, and that would have to be Steve Gadd. I mean, everything that he plays just feels to me, well, and to everyone else, he's just a spectacular feel drummer. And that's something that I can relate to. I'm not a big chops player. I always try and identify with the feel of the song and bring out the best in that.
I remember you once told me that you try to find the essential notes of a song and strip everything else away from it.
Well, I do. I try and figure out really what has to be there and what doesn't have to be there. And especially when recording, a lot of times you want to leave out what doesn't have to be there.
You need space.
You need space. And, you know, live, you can play a little more and it doesn't matter. And but recording, and most of the time, it's whatever the bass drum is doing for bass. It's usually stripped down to that, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't always work that way.
We're running out of time, John, so give me a guitar player.
Okay. Mark Knopfler will do.
Okay, give me a bass player.
I can't play with this band?
Well, you may be fronting for a song. You may be singing.
Then it's going to have to be either Will Lee or Neil Steubenhaus. I love both those players.
Didn't we play with Neil at one gig?
We did. We got.
Oh, I did. You didn't, because he took your bass and played it.
Yes. But spectacular player. He could play anytime he wants. He can sub for me.
John, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks
down.
Thanks for having me, Raj.
Yeah,
it was fun.
We almost got to see each other in daylight. Almost.
Next time.
Okay.